There we go. Is that better? Lovely. There we go. Luckily, there's somebody who knows what they're doing on the desk. Right. 1st of December, 1955. Anybody know what happened 1st of December? Remember from your history lessons at school? 1st of December, 1955, Rosa Parks gets on a bus. Rosa Parks, okay? Rosa Parks is black. She gets on the bus. It's segregated. She's not meant to sit in certain seats, okay? And there's some places she manages to sit down and find a place to sit down. And then three white people get on the bus and there's not enough room for them to sit. And the rule is she has to get up and stand, yeah, so that the white people can sit. And she refuses. She refuses to stand. Some of the other people that were with her do get up and give up their seats, but she says no. She says, no, that's it. I'm sick and tired of this. I'm sick and tired of this. I just want to be treated equally. Yeah? And she puts her foot down. She rocks the boat, as they say. You know that expression where people say, oh, don't rock the boat. Rosa Parks just rocks the boat. She's just like, no, I'm not getting up. And it's always amazing when you hear that story and you think, how would you have been in that situation? Would you have had the courage to do that? And you think, oh my word, that's just like so tough. Everybody talking about her, everybody in the town going on about it, everybody knowing about this thing. But for Rosa, that was the climax of years and years of frustration. Years and years of frustration of not being able to sit on the bus, of just not that, but all of the discrimination that she'd had. And finally, it just came to a head. And it's when she kind of gets that whole situation of this is what it's like. She just gets so frustrated. She says, I'm going to do something and I'm going to act without consequences, without worrying what people say, because this is that important. And the reason I'm talking about that is because that's how I feel about Bartimaeus in this passage we read. As you see, Bartimaeus is one who was told to shut up, be quiet, don't rock the boat. And he was the one that turned around and said, no, I've got to do something. I'm sick and tired of being in the hole I am in, of being in the situation I'm in. Yeah, and when people are saying, don't make a fuss, he's going, no, I have to. Because he knew what he wanted. He knew what he needed. And he wasn't going to let other people stop him getting that. So, look, grab your Bibles, Mark 10. It's this passage at the end, okay? Blind Bartimaeus receives his sight. And Jesus, as we find, then they came to Jericho. Jesus is on his way to Jericho. Effectively, Jericho is down in the kind of valley. Okay, actually, Jericho, you have the Jordan River coming down, and then it flows into the Dead Sea. And it's in this kind of like depression bit in the middle of Israel. Yeah, and effectively, when you come down the Jordan, you hit Jericho by the side there, and then you turn right and start to climb up. Well, there we go. Start to climb up towards Jerusalem. And that's what Jesus is actually doing. He's on his way to Jerusalem, where he is going to be crucified and die. And this is kind of like the opening bit of that, of him actually going to Jerusalem. Okay? And so he comes to Jericho. And as he goes in, as Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, was leaving the city, he's come through the city. A blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. The bit I always really like about this one is that Bartimaeus has never seen Jesus. Never seen him. See, the other people that meet with Jesus has that kind of, you know, people are willing to put their trust in him. They see him. They look at him. You get that kind of impression. You know, when you meet people and you're looking at them, they look a trustworthy person. Yeah? Well, that's what people generally have with Jesus. Yeah? But Bartimaeus has never, ever seen him. How does he believe? How does he know when Jesus is coming through Jericho that this is the person he needs to meet with? Well, there's only one way Bartimaeus could have done that, and that's by what he's heard. He's heard people talking about Jesus. He's heard all the stuff they say about him. He's this great teacher. He heals people, everything else like that. He knows who Jesus is from what other people say about him. That to me is killer. He listens to what other people have to say about Jesus, and that affects him. One of the things we've done here on the afternoons is we have testimony slots where people will stand up here and say, this is what being a Christian means to me. This is what following Christ means to me. And the reason we do that is because it's that bit where people say, this is how I met with Jesus. This is what he means to me. You know, we're sitting here and I'm looking around the room and I know everybody here, which is great, don't get me wrong. But I wish that we had people that we didn't know here. And part of that is going out and doing exactly what happened here. Bartimaeus only heard about Jesus because people told him. He didn't see it for himself. He was told by others. And that bit where we go out and tell other people who Jesus is and what he's done in our lives is vitally important. The other bit we got here is Bartimaeus knows who Jesus is. And that's really interesting. He has this kind of insight, yeah, of who actually Jesus is. He's heard about him, but Bartimaeus has obviously got a real insight here into who he is. So he cries out to him and he says, when he heard it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Now, it's a real nice little play there. When he heard it was who? Jesus of Nazareth. He cries out, Jesus, son of David. Hang on, but it's Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus of Nazareth was a little bit of an insult. You see, back then, Jericho and Jerusalem and the big cities down south, they were the places to be. Yeah, and you'd have heard people talking about the kind of like, you know, what it was like for the disciples with their northern accents. Yeah, and they did. It was basically Jesus the Northerner. Okay, that's what they were calling him. Jesus the Northerner, Nazareth, little town, one horse town, bit of a nowhere place. Jesus the Northerner. It was seen as a little bit of an insult. Well, that's not what Bartimaeus calls him. Bartimaeus recognises him for who he is. He calls him Jesus the son of David. Not that his dad was called David, but meaning that he's from the line of David. Meaning that hundreds of years before that, when there had been a prophecy about one coming from the line of David who would restore that kingdom and do more than that, Bartimaeus is the one that recognises him for who he is. And nothing is going to stop him. He says, many rebuked him, told him to be quiet, but he shouted, all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. He's not going to shut up because he knows the situation he's in. And Jesus stopped and said, call him. And they said to the blind man, cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. And I love that. There's this real dynamic piece of he's kind of like, I don't care how I look or whatever, I've got to get to that person. He just throws his coat off and he goes running up to him. What do you want me to do? Jesus asked him. The blind man said, Rabbi, I want to see. Go, said Jesus, your faith has healed you. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. You see, he knows his need. Because of what he's heard about Jesus, he knows that Jesus is the one that can save him and heal him. And so he goes running up to him. And the result is that he is saved. In terms of his sight comes back, but more than that, him getting his sight back is actually the smallest bit then, because the other bit is this. He follows Jesus along the road. You'd expect the first thing he's going to do, he's got his sight back, he's going to go home and find his family. He's been begging, he's been trying to support his family, the people that know him, and he's desperate for money all the time, and he can go back home and say, you know what, you know, I was begging, well now I'm no longer going to have to beg, I can do a job, I can do a craft, I can raise money. No, he doesn't do that. I'm sure he does go back at some point to support family, but at this stage he says, look, Jesus, you have done so much for me, and out of the gratitude that I have for what you've done, I'm going to follow you. And I look around this room and that's us. We know how much Jesus has done in our lives. We know the stuff he's done, and out of gratitude we follow him. I've always said that's one of the most amazing things about being a Christian. We don't do the stuff we do to earn that relationship with God. We do it because we already have, in gratitude for what he's done for us. And that's exactly what we see with Bartimaeus. He follows Jesus because Jesus has already done so much for him. So the question that really comes up is, who is Jesus? And it's one of the things that comes through again and again in Mark's gospel. He's trying to explain who Jesus is. And I want to come back to that. So what I do want to do is on your tables. Look, I want to have a little chat. So we've got a couple of questions. Okay, so the question that I've got at the beginning is, in the modern world, how do we find out what other people are like? You see, Bartimaeus didn't see Jesus. Yeah, he only heard about him. It was word of mouth. So I'm really interested. I want us to have a little chat about how do we find out what other people are like. So I was away this week. I was at a conference. okay, up in Birmingham. And for those of you that do that kind of thing, you come back and you get the LinkedIn hits. Okay, so LinkedIn, some of you are, no, what's LinkedIn? It's Facebook for business, effectively. Yeah, and people have their profiles on there and where they've worked and all the things like that. And when you come back, you get hit by loads of people going, hey, I saw you at the conference. Can I pair with you, partner with you on LinkedIn and things like that? And kind of requests like that. And that's how, in business, that's how I find out about people. That's the first thing I'll do. When I meet someone new, I'll go on LinkedIn, look up their profile and things like that. There's loads of other ways that we do it these days, how we find out about other people. So, start off with that on your table. Have a quick discussion. How do you find out what other people are like? But then I want you to lead on to, okay, how do you find out who Jesus is and what he came to do? How would you do that? So look, I'll give you a quick discussion on your tables. Have a chat now. Do you want to go back out of there? Is that okay? Just about how we share who Jesus is, what he came to do. Can we have the video? Have a watch of this. He didn't see Jesus, he just heard. There's a question I always ask when I'm studying the Bible is why? This kind of, it's a so what question, which sounds terrible when you talk about the Bible, but it's that kind of, why is the passage here? Do you know what, there would have been loads of blind people in Israel at that time? There would have been a load of beggars in Israel at that time. Why does Jesus stop by Jericho for Bartimaeus? What's so important about Bartimaeus? And one of the bits I like looking at, he says, if I can get my ear sorted, there we go. One of the bits I love sorting out is trying to understand why the Bible works the way it does like that. You see, as many of you know, my background is engineering. And for me, engineering means when I look at the world, I see design. Okay, completely. When I was a student in London, I was on the tube trains, and I used to look at the tube trains and work out how you would build a tube train. And I'd actually look at the bits and think about how you would cast that and machine it. You know, even something as simple as one of my trekking poles, I look at that, and this is designed. This is carbon here. But you don't just take any carbon. They've got to work out the strength of that carbon so that when I'm trekking, that doesn't collapse or break, but it needs these metal bits, these ferrules here, so to reinforce the bending points. And they've worked out the bending points that are going to happen there. And then what you need is some kind of locking mechanism. So as you slide that down, the whole thing just locks open. So they've got a little locking thing here, so it all holds together and is balanced correctly. And then something to adjust the length as well. That's been designed and all put together so it works as one bit. That's what I see when I read my Bible. I see something that's designed. Nothing just happens. There is purpose behind it, and there's purpose behind what goes on here. Jesus walks into Jericho when he sees Bartimaeus. That's been set in place thousands, millions of years before when God said, right, I'm going to use that situation to teach you. So what's the lesson? Open your Bibles again. Chapter 10. You see, everything that's going on in chapter 10 is about what's the standard to get to God. That's the theme that runs through this chapter. You start at the beginning and you've got the Pharisees there. And they come to Jesus and they test him. Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? The Pharisees are looking at the law. The law is vitally important to them because the law is what gives you access to God. You've got to follow the law to the absolute letter. And so the Pharisees come and try and trip him up with questions about the law because for them, the law is the only way to do it. And unless you follow the law completely, you're not going to get to God. What's the standard? Follow the law, say the Pharisees. You've got to get it completely right. Verse 13. People bringing little kids to Jesus so he can put his hands and bless them. And the disciples go, no, don't let them come up. And Jesus rebukes them, saying, no. Unless somebody comes to me like a little kid, with that kind of childlike faith that kids have, that faith where a kid goes, I'm not going to check everything that my mum cooks for me because, hey, I trust my mum. Okay? When they're a little kid, when they get older, absolutely, they're going to go, what's in it? But when they're a little kid, they're just kind of like, yep, there's the food, I'm just going to eat the food. Because they trust, and they just go, that's what it's like. And Jesus says, no, that's what the kid, you should have that kind of faith as you come into God. What's the standard for coming to God? Well, be like a child in your faith and just trust. You got the rich man, verse 17. Man ran up to him, fell at his knees. Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Okay? How do I get to heaven? Again, what's the standard? I want to make sure I pass. I want to go to heaven. What do I have to do to get there? And when Jesus tells him, because he's rich, he's got to give up everything. And the guy can't do it. The disciples are amazed. Who then can be saved? What's the standard for us, think of the disciples? And in fact, we know that because Peter then says, we've left everything to follow you. Surely, Jesus, we've reached the standard. As you look through Mark 10, all of it is about, what must I do to get to God? And then comes Bartimaeus. What did Bartimaeus do to deserve being healed? Nothing. What did he have that he could give Jesus to get that? Nothing. Jesus turns around and heals him and saves him so that he follows him. Because he did nothing to deserve that. But Jesus said, I will give you my grace and my mercy and heal you. You know, the remarkable thing here is all of those people before this passage could see Jesus. They were physically sighted, but they were spiritually blind. They could see Jesus, but what they didn't get was how to get to God, what the standard was, and that Jesus had come to change everything. He was the Son of David, the one who had come to restore God's kingdom on earth. And all those people who could see, the Pharisees and the disciples and the kids and the rich young man, could see physically, but spiritually, it just wasn't there. And the contrast is with Bartimaeus, who's blind, cannot physically see Jesus, and yet spiritually, he's absolutely spot on. Bartimaeus knows the situation he's in. He's blind. There's nothing that he can do to restore his sight. He's in a pit and he cannot get out of it. He recognises the one person who can save him, Jesus, the Son of David. He's only ever heard about him, but he trusts what he's heard, the testimony that he's heard from other people, and says, I will put my trust in him. He lets nothing get in his way. When they try and shut him up, he said, this is way, way more important. I don't care what you're saying. I'm not going to shut up. I will rock the boat. This is important. I need to be there. And as a result, he gets his sight. He gets his sight. And as a result of that, in the gratitude that he has for what God has done for him, he follows him. You know, out there is a blind world. Out there is a blind world. People wandering around who can physically see but are spiritually blind. And Jesus says, my grace and my mercy is ready for each and every one out there. But they need to hear. And that's down to us. I'm not saying that God can't act without us. We know that he can. But he wants us to go and tell each and every person in Caterham, the spiritually blind that are out there, who are in that pit and cannot get out, we need to be the ones that are out there saying, let me tell you about what God has done in my life. Let me share with you what he's done so that you too may see Jesus, so that you too may know who Jesus is, and that you too may follow him as well. Amen. Howard, just sitting from